Perceptual geometry of reality to lack a conspansive dual representation. Motion of any kind would require a fixed spatial array or ectomorphic background space, requiring an explanation of its own, and so on down the tower. Conspansion permits the universe to self-configure through temporal feedback. Each conspanding circle represents an event potential corresponding to a certain combination of law and state. Even after one of these intrinsically atemporal circles has inter-expanded across vast reaches of space and time, its source event is still current for anything that interacts with it, e.g., an eye catching one of its photons. At the same time, conspansion gives the quantum wave function of objects a new home, inside the conspanding objects themselves. Without it, the wave function not only has no home, but fails to coincide with any logically evolving system of predicates or laws of physics. Eliminate conspansion, and reality becomes an inexplicable space full of deterministic world lines and the weighty load of problems that can be expected when geometry is divorced from logic. Where reality is characterized by dual aspect infocognitive monism, read on, it consists of units of infocognition reflecting a distributed coupling of transductive syntax and informational content. Conspansion describes the alternation of these units between the dual, generalized cognitive and informational aspects of reality, and thus between syntax and state. This alternation, which permits localized mutual refinements of cognitive syntax and informational state, is essential to an evolutionary process called telic recursion. Telic recursion requires a further principle based on conspansive duality, the extended superposition principle, according to which operators can be simultaneously acquired by multiple telons, or spatio-temporally extensive syntax-state relationships implicating generic operators in potential events and opportunistically guiding their decoherence. Note that conspansion explains the arrow of time in the sense that it is not symmetric under reversal. On the other hand, the conspansive nesting of atemporal events puts all of time in simultaneous self-contact without compromising ordinality. Conspansive duality can be viewed as the consequence of a type of gauge, measure, symmetry by which only the relative dimensions of the universe and its contents are important. The extended superposition principle. In quantum mechanics, the principle of superposition of dynamical states asserts that the possible dynamical states of a quantized system, like waves in general, can be linearly superposed, and that each dynamical state can thus be represented by a vector belonging to an abstract vector space. The superposition principle permits the definition of so-called mixed states, consisting of many possible pure states or definite sets of values of state parameters. In such a superposition, state parameters can simultaneously have many values. The superposition principle highlights certain problems with quantum mechanics. One problem is that quantum mechanics lacks a cogent model in which to interpret things like mixed states. Waves alone are not sufficient. Another problem is that according to the uncertainty principle, the last states of a pair of interacting particles are generally insufficient to fully determine their next states. This, of course, raises a question: how are their next states actually determined? What is the source of the extra tie-breaking measure of determinacy required to select their next events, collapse their wave functions? The answer is not, as some might suppose, randomness. Randomness amounts to acausality, or alternatively, to informational incompressibility with respect to any distributed causal template or ingredient of causal syntax. Thus, it is either no explanation at all, or it implies the existence of a cause, exceeding the representative capacity of distributed laws of causality. But the former is both absurd and unscientific, and the latter requires that some explicit allowance be made for higher orders of causation, more of an allowance than may readily be discerned in a simple, magical invocation of randomness. The superposition principle, like other aspects of quantum mechanics, is based on the assumption of physical Markovianism. It refers to mixed states between adjacent events, ignoring the possibility of non-random temporally extensive relationships not wholly attributable to distributed laws. By putting temporally remote events in extended descriptive contact with each other, the extended superposition principle enables coherent cross-temporal telic feedback and thus plays a necessary role in cosmic self-configuration. Among the higher-order determinate relationships in which events and objects can thus be implicated are utile state syntax relationships called telons, telic attractors capable of guiding cosmic and biological evolution. Given that quantum theory does not seem irrevocably attached to Markovianism, why has the possibility of higher-order causal relationships not been seriously entertained? One reason is space-time geometry, which appears to confine objects to one-dimensional world lines in which their state transition events are separated by intervening segments that prevent them from mixing in any globally meaningful way. It is for this reason that superposition is usually applied only to individual state transitions, at least by those subscribing to conservative interpretations of quantum mechanics. Conspansive duality, which incorporates TD and CF components, removes this restriction by placing state transition events in direct descriptive contact. Because the geometric intervals between events are generated and selected by descriptive processing, they no longer have separative force. Yet, since world lines accurately reflect the distributed laws in terms of which state transitions are expressed, they are not reduced to the status of interpolated artifacts with no dynamical reality. Their separative qualities are merely overridden by the state syntax dynamic of their conspansive dual representation. In extending the superposition concept to include non-trivial higher-order relationships, the extended superposition principle opens the door to meaning and design. Because it also supports distribution relationships among states, events, and syntactic strata, it makes cosmogony a distributed, coherent, ongoing event rather than a spent and discarded moment from the ancient history of the cosmos. Indeed, the usual justification for observer participation, that an observer in the present can perceptually collapse the wave functions of ancient photon emission events, can be regarded as a consequence of this logical relationship. Supertautology truth, a predicate representing inclusion in a domain, is the logical property by virtue of which one thing may be identified and distinguished from another at any level of resolution. All theories aim at truth, and reality theory is no exception. With respect to science, there is a problem with truth. Beyond the level of direct observation, it cannot be certified by empirical means. To blame are various forms of uncertainty, model theoretic ambiguity, and the problem of induction. Scientific generalizations are circular insofar as they are necessarily based on the assumption that nature is uniform. The problem of induction effectively limits certitude to mathematical reasoning. This is hardly surprising, for truth is ultimately a mathematical concept. In logic, truth is defined by means of always true expressions called tautologies. A logical tautology possesses three distinctive properties. It is descriptively universal, it is closed under recursive self-composition, and it is internally and externally consistent on the syntactic and semantic levels of reference. Since logic is the theory of truth, the way to construct a fully verifiable theory is to start with logic and develop the theory by means of rules or principles under which truth is heritable. Because truth is synonymous with logical tautology, this means developing the theory by adjoining rules which themselves have a tautological structure, i.e., which are universal, closed, and consistent, and logically extracting the implications. A theory of reality constructed in this way is called a supertautology. In a supertautological theory of reality, it is unnecessary to assume the uniformity of nature with respect to certain kinds of generalization. Instead, such generalizations can be mathematically deduced, e.g., nomological covariance, the invariance of the rate of global self-processing, synvariance, and the internally apparent accelerating expansion of the system. Reduction and extension. The greatest theoretical advances have typically been associated with two complementary processes, reduction and extension. The conceptual components of a theory are reduced to more fundamental components, and the theory extended by the emergence of new and more general relationships among them. The CTMU reduces reality to self-transducing information and ultimately to telesis, using the closed, reflexive syntactic structure of the former as a template for reality theory. In science, everything requires an explanation, even explanations. Not only do observations demand explanatory theories, but theories require explanations of their own. Unfortunately, it is sometimes forgotten that until something has been explained in an explicable way, it has not been properly explained at all. If a theory is not self-explanatory, then it must be reduced to a more fundamental theory that explains it. Otherwise, it merely relies on assumptions. E.g., consider an explanation to the effect that birds can fly because they have wings. Without an explanation of atmospheric resistance, this explanation is incomplete. It contains no explanation of why or how wings enable flight, merely relying on the assumption that they do. Therefore, while it is true as far as it goes, it leaves out crucial supporting knowledge and cannot stand alone. Concisely, every theory TI plus one that is not self-explanatory must be reducible to a more fundamental theory TI that explains and supports it, so that TI is true TI plus one, and this explanatory regress can only end with a self-explanatory theory T0. This fact is very frequently forgotten in evolutionary biology, where, e.g., details of molecular structure and dynamics are used to explain organic phenomena. Although these details come from the more fundamental theories of quantum chemistry and physics, they will never constitute a satisfactory explanation of life until they incorporate not only an explanation of physics and chemistry, but reality at large. This is true because physical, observable, reality is not a complete model for physics, and thus is not self-contained with respect to explanation. In this sense, any exclusively materialistic interpretation of physical theory is prima facie absurd, and because physics is a non-self-explanatory theory regardless of model. To explain organic phenomena using natural selection, one needs an explanation for natural selection, including the natural selection of the laws of physics and the universe as a whole. Theoretical reduction involves a regressive unbinding of progressive informational constraints in order to achieve increasingly basic explanations. Closed theoretical signatures are ripped open and reduced to more basic concepts that can be reformed into more basic and expressive signatures. However, the informational part of the regress terminates where further reduction would compromise intelligibility. There can be no further reductive regress through increasingly fundamental theoretic strata once the requirements of regression, reduction, theorization, and stratification have themselves been lost. Beyond this point, infocognition gives way to informational and cognitive potential, or telesis, the process of reducing distinctions to the homogeneous syntactic media that support them is called syndiphionic regression. This process involves unisection, whereby the rules of structure and dynamics that respectively govern a set of distinct objects are reduced to a syntactic join in an infocognitive lattice of syntactic media. Unisection is a general form of reduction, which implies that all properties realized within a medium are properties of the medium itself. Where emergent properties are merely latent properties of the teleosyntactic medium of emergence, the mysteries of emergent phenomena are reduced to just two. How are emergent properties anticipated in the syntactic structure of their medium of emergence, and why are they not expressed except under specific conditions involving, e.g., degree of systemic complexity? The principle of infocognitive monism. Where language consists of information and information has linguistic structure, the principle of linguistic reducibility implies that information is as fundamental as language. Insofar as we cannot understand reality except in theoretical, linguistic, informational terms, this permits us to cast reality as a self-processing language, or self-defining, self-explaining, self-modeling theory universe ensemble, without fear of being proven wrong by some alternate theoretical reduction. However, the linguistic reduction of reality is superficially macroscopic. Just as a perfectly self-contained language must be self-processing, for lack of anything external to process it, so must the information of which it consists. This leads to the concept of self-processing information, and ultimately to a microscopic, quantum theory of information. It is easy to show that information is self-processing. Structure is attributive. The parts of any structure possess attributes that position them or otherwise define them relative to other parts. To be meaningful and thus informative, information must have structure. Therefore, information must possess attributes. Attributive relationships, intrinsic or otherwise, must conform to the logical rules that govern attribution, i.e., to an attributive logical syntax, incorporating the propositional and predicate calculi. So information can exist only in conjunction with attributive logical syntax. Because it necessarily incorporates attributive syntax, it has enough native self-processing capacity to maintain its intrinsic structure, which is precisely what it must do to qualify as informational. Because cognition and generic information transduction are identical up to isomorphism. After all, cognition is just the specific form of information processing that occurs in a mind. Information processing can be described as generalized cognition, and the coincidence of information and processor can be referred to as infocognition. Reality thus consists of a single substance, infocognition, with two aspects corresponding to transduction and being transduced. Describing reality as infocognition thus amounts to infocognitive dual aspect monism, where infocognition equals the distributed generalized self-perception and self-cognition of reality. Infocognitive monism implies a stratified form of panpsychism, in which at least three levels of self-cognition can be distinguished with respect to scope, power, and coherence: global, agentive, and subordinate. Ultimately, the conceptual shift from information to self-transducing information requires extensions of information-intensive theories, including the theories of information, computation, and cybernetics. The problem stems from the fact that, as it is understood in these fields, information is a limited concept based on an engineering model in which the existence of senders, receivers, messages, channels, and transmissive media is already conveniently given, complete with all of the structural and dynamical laws required to make them work together. Moreover, the bit structure specified in this model relates to the actual structure of information, the way propositional logic relates to logic as a whole, including the predicate calculus and model theory. To wit, only a single level of structure and functionality is considered, and attribution is primarily limited to just a pair of central predicates common to both theories. True-false, 1-0. Just as sentential logic concerns itself only with the functorial relationships of sentential variables and ignores their content, information theory concerns itself only with the probabilities of symbols in message strings and ignores the details of syntactic and semantic structure and processing. Diagram 12. Sentential logic and information theory both ignore entire levels of structure in order to reduce the universe to 1s and zeros. In sentential logic, sentential variables are distinguished only by whether they are true or false, 1 or 0, while the standard theory of information, along with the theories of computation and cybernetics, deals with raw data expressed or encoded in the most basic possible terms, namely the binary digits 1 and 0. While the role of these bits is to reduce uncertainty regarding specific items of content, certain essential details of syntactic and semantic structure and processing, and more specific relationships among variables and data, are conveniently omitted. The red question marks indicate that neither sentential logic nor information theory fully explains itself, its model, or its medium. Diagram partially adapted from Shannon C.E. 1948, A Mathematical Theory of Communication, Bell System Technical Journal, Vol. 27, pp. 379-423 and 623-656. However, the most interesting part of the analogy is its logical extension. Just as sentential logic is naturally extended to encompass the levels of attribution associated with predicate logic and model theory, the theory of information can be naturally extended to encompass deeper levels of attribution. In fact, the same two levels adjoin to sentential logic. Retooling the information concept consists of three steps. First, it must be equipped with the means of its own transduction or transformative processing. Where information transduction is cognitively recognized as generalized cognition, this amounts to replacing it with a dual aspect quantum of reflexivity, infocognition, which embodies telic feedback. Second, its bit structure, a simplistic and rather uninspired blend of two-valued propositional logic and probability theory, must be extended to accommodate logic as a whole, including 1. Predicate logic, 2. Model theory, and 3. Language theory, broadly including the theories of mathematical languages, metalanguages, and generative grammars. After all, since information does nothing but attribute linguistically organized predicates to objects in the context of models, its meaning involves the mathematics of predicates, languages, and models. And third, it must be generalized to an ultimate ancestral medium, telesis, from which cognitive syntax and its informational content arise by specific feedback as part of a